Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at MichaelCBS4. That's Michael Spencer filling in for Andrew Mason today at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, if you're looking for a hot tub, there's only really one place to go in town, and that is Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. And here's the reason why. The supply chains during COVID broke down. And if you walk into almost any hot tub store in town, they're going to tell you you might have to wait 8-12 weeks, maybe even longer. The owner, Tracy, she was way ahead of the curve, and she has two warehouses of hot tubs ready to sell right now. I was just down there and I saw it. They have 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. And you know what else is great about Hot Tub Outlet? They are made in the USA. All of their hot tubs made in the U.S., great quality, and the best insulation by far. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or HotTubOutletDenver.com right now. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I'm going to bring in our friend Peter McNabb. You can catch him on all of the Avalanche broadcasts. Peter, I heard you on another radio station today, and honestly, I'm being serious. You and I have known each other for a long time. You were awful. So thank you for saving all of the good answers for us.
Yeah, well, I lie on your show, so you know.
Wow, you really had to go there. You really had to follow up with that. Listen, a lot of people are really upset about the Avalanche losing because of the expectations, the way they played during the regular season, but come on. Vegas is really good. It's not like they lost to a team that stinks. Right?
No, I mean, this was one of those classic, and we'll see how it plays out. Absolutely, I still think that Tampa Bay is a tremendous club. They're the reigning Stanley Cup champions. You can go up and down the board with their club. They're experienced. They've got guys that know how to play well in the playoffs. So I mean, I think anybody that plays them is going to be up against it. But this reminded me so much of the Detroit Colorado big rivalry, late 90s, early 2000, where it was just the two great hockey clubs, and it was going to come down to a player, a play, a moment, that the ebbs and flows of it, the fact that it had a little bit of the old-time feel to it. The Avs win two at home, then they lose two at home, so you're coming back here for game five, and you're thinking, okay, it's tied at two, what's going on? And, I think that, the games three and four certainly didn't set up a great feeling, but it forced the Avalanche into making some moves that seemed to work. And you're going into the third period, I think the number that I heard, the Avalanche had done it 52 times, gone into the third period up by two and had won all 52. So it was there was a lot of things that just were made this particular playoff series a head scratcher. You and I were talking earlier, just things that should have taken it towards the Avalanche. The first goal of the game is supposed to mean something. Five of the six games, the Avalanche, scored the first goal. Having the lead is supposed to mean something. The Avalanche had the lead in all six games at some point. They were trailing, obviously, but there was a point inside of each game where they had the lead. So, there were just things where you got your hopes up, and then they were dashed, and then you had your hopes up, and, after games three and four, when it went so badly, you come home, first 40 minutes of game five, you're pumped. You're thinking, okay, here they come. This is it. This is what we want to see. And then just a couple of mistakes turned it into overtime loss. So it's just really difficult for everybody. I mean, this starts from the top and works it down all the way through. This was, you and I were talking. I happen to have been part of what I consider to be the worst loss of all time. So I can certainly feel for these guys because it devastates you. You simply don't get over this quickly or easily.
Peter, it's Michael Spencer from CBS 4. Hey, we were talking about this earlier on the show. There's a lot that needs to be addressed in the offseason in terms of moves that Joe Sakic is going to have to make. When you look at the totality of those, what stands out to you as maybe the most important thing that Joe is going to need to address this offseason?
I think everybody is looking towards the expansion draft, and the Avalanche will lose a good player because they got a lot of good players. But to me, it's how do they get the guys signed that they want to get signed? I mean, this year, it's a flat cap, and what that means is that cap, when you're projecting, usually the cap goes up $4 or $5 million a year, maybe a little less than that. So this would have been by this point $88 to $90 million, and that's where you're dealing with your cap. Now, you know, it's 81, and you've got, in my mind, in order, you got Makar. I mean, you basically, I don't know how you say no to anything that he wants. It used to be, in the old days, there was a bridge contract, meaning from your three-year entry-level draft to your first really big contract, there was kind of this bridge of a two- or three-year deal. Those are gone. Players don't go for those anymore. You know, the McDavids and Matthews, they sort of broke. It wasn't them in particular, but that mold was broken when they signed the huge contracts that they signed when they were very young. And Makar's right there, and he's going to get what is, for example, the best defenseman in hockey worth? That's what you're going to have to say, because next year he's going to go into that as he's won the Rookie of the Year. He's going to, I would doubt he wins the Norris. Right. I think Hedman does. But he's going to be first-team All-Star. And Hedman's, you know, the same age as Matt Duchene. So is that early 30s? And Makar's 22. So, you know, you're looking at the best defenseman in hockey next year. And how much is that going to be worth? And if it say it's 10 million. You know, it's an idea that he was making one approximately, maybe less than with an entry level, but around one. So there's $9 million somehow you got to find. And it just kind of goes on. And then the one, Grubauer, you want to sign, and he's earned a raise. He's made 3-3. And does he double that? Bennington made 6 million for 6 years, and I think that Grubauer would definitely feel he's in that area, that category.
Especially because there aren't a lot of goalies out there, and the guys who are any good are all having off-season surgery.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's sitting in a very good spot for having an absolutely spectacular season. And the one is, you know, that's, I think, is the hardest one if you're an Avs fan, because I don't think anybody has put his signature on a community in a way that Gabe Landeskog has right here in Colorado, right here in Denver. And, you know, the captain of this hockey club, I mean, he just lit it up game one against St. Louis in the playoffs. He gets, you know, goes with Shen after Shen goes after Mikko, and the place, I mean, it goes crazy. And there's your leader, there's your captain, there's the guy that everybody follows. So, you know, this is the business of this thing, you know. Is there somebody out there that's going to, you know, make Gabe an offer? Because Gabe has one responsibility. Now, when you're signing your contract, you go from player to businessman. He's got to take care of his family. His family has to be the number one thing that's his concern. He is certainly going to give the Colorado Avalanche every opportunity to make the right deal. But, you know, all I can do is just hope to goodness that that's what happens, because it would almost be impossible to think of him anywhere else.
Yeah, we are talking with Peter McNabb. You can catch him on all the Avalanche broadcasts on Altitude. We only have about a minute left, so you weren't even able to mention Saad, and look how great he was in the playoffs. And people are saying, and honestly, I don't disagree, you might need to bring in some third liners or fourth liners to get some grit to maybe compete with Vegas. I had a conversation with John Michael Lyles today, and he said something that is cliche in the hockey world, but if you're not a big hockey fan, it's a phrase that makes sense. You need two lines to get to the playoffs, but you need third and fourth lines to advance in the playoffs. And you can make the case the third and fourth lines for the Avalanche weren't good enough. But we have a minute left, and I want to look ahead. So we're talking about Makar. What is he going to want? And same thing with Grubauer. And obviously Landeskog. Do you want to bring back Saad? But you got to look ahead and look in that crystal ball and say, we need to have some money for Nathan MacKinnon, too, because this guy is not taking a hometown discount in a couple of years.
No, I mean, and nor should he. You know, the Avalanche went out and signed him after he did not have his best year, and they gave him a contract that people said at the time they're overpaying Nathan MacKinnon. They said that at the time, absolutely. People's memory can be a little short. But now it's the best bargain in hockey. And, you know, after a while, it's kind of cute, but after a while, if you're Nathan MacKinnon, you get kind of tired of hearing that you're the best bargain in hockey. I mean, you're with your peers at various, you know, charity functions or whatever, and you hear that. And he will get paid, too. So you're hoping by that time the cap has, you know, moved forward considerably. But it's all part of what they're going to have to do to try to keep this team together. And, you know, and then you look at the fact that, you know, you win three in a row first rounds rather comfortably. Then you lose three second rounds in really hard ways, this last one being the hardest as far as you were there for the first four periods. Then somehow it went away for eight periods. Then it came back for six periods. Like, which team are you? What do you need to do? Where do you need to shore things up? Just a million different, you know, things to think about, but not right now. You can't. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible to get past the devastation of losing. You know, because you just didn't think you were going to. I never got that feeling listening to anybody talk, because we can't have personal talks with anybody. But you're just listening and try to hear. The players were firmly convinced they were going to win. So this is hard.
Hey, Peter, I know you work for Altitude. They sign your paycheck. I know you are on Altitude Radio today, but we really appreciate you saving your best stuff for us. Have a great weekend, my friend.
See you, man. That's the best I got. I'm in trouble. Thank you so much.
See you, Pete. Late.
Take care, guys.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going out live to Pepsi Center. Mike Singer covers the Nuggets for the Denver Post, joins us next.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at MichaelCBS4. Michael Spencer filling in for Mace today as he is taking a vacation from me. Also at Eric Goodman if you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com, and I'm telling you something, they're the only choice for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to a big box store, you're going to be paying retail. Rocky Mountain Forest Products, you are going to be paying wholesale. You're looking to build a deck, you're looking to build a fence, you're looking to do siding. Don't pay retail, pay wholesale. And their lumber is all over the city. I mean, you've been in some of these places. I'm talking about Coors Field, Ball Arena, Empower Field, the Stanley Hotel. They are all over the place. Why not get the best lumber out there and do it at wholesale prices? Rocky Mountain Forest Products, you can find them in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in Mike Singer. He's at Pepsi Center. I'm guessing you are getting ready to enjoy your pregame meal. Is that right?
I'm actually headed over there right now. I am not there yet, but if you're headed over there, I will share a quick bite with you.
I can't. I have to drive up to Arvada tonight, so I would love to be able to go. They only let special media members go, and clearly Nick O'Hare doesn't feel I am that guy. So, you know, it is what it is. It is. Believe me, it'll be much more enjoyable having dinner without me than with me. I'm going to ask you to...
I plead the fifth on all of
all right, I'm going to ask you to put on two hats. Guy who covers the Nuggets every single day and a fan. How are you feeling about tonight's Game 3?
I will answer it as wearing both hats. I think that they are ultimately going to win. This is a team that, no matter what they have been up against, have seemingly found a way. Their season's on the line. You can't go down 3-0. I don't care what kind of historic comebacks you've done in the past. If they go down 3-0, that's curtains. This team is clearly more talented than the Nuggets are throughout the first two games. They have more talent in the aggregate. I just think that for the first time all season, Ball Arena is going to be packed to the brim. 18,000, 19,000 fans screaming for Nikola Jokic's pregame MVP ceremony. I think that they get it done and live to tell another day, and maybe we can entertain an even series going into Game 4.
Mike, as Michael Spencer from CBS4, you're more optimistic about this game than I am and maybe about this series. Are we asking too much? Are we expecting too much out of Monte Morris and Austin Rivers? I mean, Monte obviously had huge games in Game 5 and Game 6, and now people are looking like, well, where has Monte Morris been through Games 1 and 2? He's 2 of 17 from the field. Austin Rivers, not great either. What's your thought on what we've gotten from Monte and where maybe that expectation realistically should be heading into the rest of the series?
I think people are expecting too much out of a backup point guard, a rookie point guard, and a guy who was sitting on his couch 2 months ago. And I realize you can say the same thing when the Nuggets were facing Portland, also an elite backcourt in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. The difference between the Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns is that Portland has the 29th best defense in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns are sixth. So these undersized guards, these scrappy guards that the Nuggets are using, they're not finding the same themes. They're not attacking with the same aggression. And frankly, you know, I've seen a lot of tentativeness from Monte Morris, from Austin Rivers. I've seen some ball stopping when the ball gets to Austin Rivers. Like, you talk about cohesion and chemistry, and that's something the Nuggets have prided themselves on the past 2 or 3 years. It is evident that these starters have not played together when the offense is not working as it usually does. It doesn't funnel the ball through Nikola Jokic as often as it needs to. And let's just call a spade a spade. There is a giant talent disparity in the backcourt between Phoenix and Denver.
Okay, I think I read a tweet that you put out earlier today. I decided not to block you during the playoffs. I think you said that there is not going to be any lineup changes. Did I read that correctly?
You did read that correctly. I talked to somebody close to the team, and that is my expectation, kind of reading the tea leaves. I would be surprised if they made a lineup change going into Game 3, mostly because I don't know who you turn to. Like Spencer just said, it's Monte Morris, 2 of 17. You know, who are you going to turn to? Shaq Harrison? You're going to put Jermichael Green in the starting lineup? Like, they don't have a lot of great options to turn to. I think they just need better production from their starters.
Okay, I'm going to break some news for you. I think I have 5 Twitter followers. I think you have about a couple of million, so you could put this out on your Twitter feed. I know somebody very close to the Michael Porter Jr. situation. He told me that Michael Porter Jr. is at about 90% heading into tonight's game. And then I said to him, what do you think that Porter Jr. was at going into Game 2? And he said 55%. So if that indeed is the case, that is great news for the Nuggets tonight.
I'm not a math major, but jumping 35% in less than 2 days is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Nuggets medical staff might have cracked some new medical frontiers if that's the case. I mean, listen, if Michael Porter Jr. is close to 100%, then they have a fighting chance in this series, not just in this game. But if he's not, if he's hovering around the 55, 60, 75% range, like, they are in a lot of trouble. The most pressing issue for the Nuggets right now is secondary scoring. Who are you going to rely on? Will Barton's on a minutes restriction. He's not going to play more than 20 minutes tonight. Aaron Gordon has not shown any kind of reliable offense outside of the paint. Austin Rivers and Monte and Faku, we already talked about. Is it going to come from Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap? Like, who is going to be the guy that gets you those points to kind of stay with Phoenix, who, again, in addition to a top six defense, has a top six offense in the NBA too. So if Michael Porter's all right, I think that they're going to end up winning tonight. And then again, we can talk about some excitement going into game four.
I will tell you something, Mike. The person who I have talked to, he's as close to this situation as you can get. He said 90%.
All right. I mean, that is encouraging.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, you know, it came out during game two. I believe it was Chris Haynes had the report that I think it was Jamichael Green and Aaron Gordon spoke up after game one, and then things kind of fell flat in game two. And then you reported that JaVale McGee addressed the team after game two. Is it fair to wonder if there's some issues inside that locker room right now? And I know it's really hard because we as reporters and you who cover the team on a daily basis haven't been able to be inside there. But is it fair to wonder if there is maybe a rift or some miscommunication inside that locker room right now?
Well, I don't know if it's a rift, but I do think that there's tension. And, you know, mostly the message that I heard from, you know, those guys who did speak up in the post-game locker room was just pleading for urgency, just saying, guys, let's recognize this. This is the postseason. We took a lot of fight to the Portland Trailblazers. Where is that same level of urgency and aggressiveness against the Phoenix Suns? And the other thing that I would note, amongst those three guys that we just mentioned, Jamichael Green, Aaron Gordon, JaVale McGee, what's interesting about those three is that none of those guys were there last season. These are all newcomers to the team who feel comfortable enough to speak up, to say something, to get into people and potentially make people uncomfortable. And frankly, you know, I think the Nuggets do need some of that. I think they need, kind of a guy to ruffle some feathers, just kind of to jolt that locker room and to say and recognize the moment. Like, we are not that much worse than the Phoenix Suns that we should be getting blasted on back-to-back games and having our coach call us embarrassing, soft, scared, and all of the above.
And to me, Mike, that speaks to Jamal Murray, because I think normally Jamal would be that guy, right? And to me, when he went down, I said, look, he may not be the best player, but to me, he's the heart and soul of that team. And he's the guy that can get into his teammates and say, hey, we need more of him. Am I right in that regard?
100%. They do need Jamal Murray. And I think he has been active on the sidelines. But, you know, I was actually listening back to Malone's post-game press conference after game two. And he said, not only did our starters not bring it, but our 12 guys on the bench didn't bring it. He said there was no juice, there was no competitive edge. And, like, anyone who saw Jamal Murray stalking up and down the sidelines against the Portland Trailblazers knows that he has that capability. And again, JaVale McGee, a three-time champion, barely played in this postseason, is coaching guys during the game. I'm watching it. He's, like, coaching Nikola Jokic one-on-one. So, yes, they are losing a lot in not having Jamal's voice. But, and so again, some of these new guys, these new voices are having to step up, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of rift there, to use your guys' words, when stuff hits the fan.
One more thing before we cut you loose, because we know you want to dig into that salad bar over at Ball Arena. You've been around sports long enough, as has Michael and I. You know, as a coach, you can only trash your team so many times before it goes on deaf ears. Is Mike Malone, Michael Malone, it's Mike Singer, Michael Malone, Michael Spencer. I'm surrounded by Mikes. Can you
Michael Green, Michael Porter Jr.
Jamichael Green does not count because he spells it differently, and it's not Michael Porter Jr., it's MPJ. So just, okay. Come on, Mike.
Okay. Apologies.
Yeah. How many times can Michael Malone go to this well?
I mean, it's a good question. You do run the risk of starting to turn your team off if you keep banging on him like this. But at the same time, he's not the only one doing it. So I think he has a little bit more runway. Jamichael Green and Aaron Gordon both using phrases like embarrassing, soft, and scared. So at least there is some, you know, accountability and acknowledgement from the players themselves. If it was just a one-way street, that would not sit well, in my opinion. But, you know, I think Malone is just hoping to light a fire. Like, those two first games were ugly in the second half. I cannot tell you how loud the arena was in Phoenix. And, you know, what's interesting is that is the first time the Nuggets have seen a full arena this year. 19,000 Suns fans hungry from an 11-year postseason drought, going crazy at every single Chris Paul crossover. So the Nuggets are up against it. Like I said before, they've responded well in the past. If they don't, tonight. I will call it curtains, and then we can all go get a salad together.
Okay, that sounds good. Soup and salad, that's a great place. I love their bacon bits. They are not imitation. We know that you believe that the Nuggets are going to win tonight. So this series goes back to Phoenix, tied at 2 or 3-1.
I'll say we're a lot closer to a 5-game series than a 7-game series.
Okay.
As I predicted at the beginning of the year. We'll call those imitation bacon bits.
There we go. Go enjoy your dinner. Look forward to reading your article tomorrow on DenverPost.com. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Coming up after the break, I can't believe we haven't talked to any Broncos, but don't worry, we are next. Third week of OTAs in the books. Next time they get together, it's going to be mandatory, which means Aaron Rodgers will clearly be there because it's mandatory. What have we learned about the Broncos that we didn't know before OTAs started? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, at Michael CBS4, Michael Spencer. Filling in today, if you want wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Also, highly recommend you download our app. Take us on the go, whether you're in your car, whether you're in the mall, whether you're in the bathtub. Just make sure it's a phone that can get wet. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
All right, the Broncos wrapped up third week of OTAs. Next time they get together, it's going to be a mandatory minicamp as my old friend Jim Saccomano, who was the director of public relations, used to say, if you have nothing to talk about the quarterbacks. So let's start there. What have we learned?
We've learned that Drew Lock hasn't made the jump that most people thought he was going to make.
Now, you mean
take that,
that 10 hours with Peyton Manning eating popcorn and watching film didn't help?
My favorite thing about the Peyton Manning thing was that people were upset that he didn't spend enough time, as if like what they wanted was for Peyton to adopt Drew, for him to have bunk beds with Peyton's son, Marshall.
Right.
And that would have been acceptable. They're in shorts, right? You don't play football in shorts. You play football in 11-on-11 and in pads. But there hasn't been this aha moment. Drew Lock is all of a sudden a much better quarterback than we thought he was going to be yet. And I don't know if it's going to come. And that is the biggest takeaway through, again, three weeks of practices in shorts.
It's not going to get any easier for Drew Lock. I mean, if he was going to make a jump, it had to be here, and here's why. Even though you have cornerbacks on wide receivers, you don't have a pass rush. And if he is struggling to hit guys downfield, and if he's constantly checking down like he is, and he's checking down because he knows he needs to do it, I think he is, in his head, he has lost his fastball. And every time he sees Teddy Bridgewater complete a pass downfield with Jerry Jeudy, and it seems like they have a nice chemistry going. Every time Bridgewater does that, I think Locke looks at it and says, "That's my wheelhouse. That's my wheelhouse." And then he winds up throwing an interception because he is pressing. Unlike Jeff Driskel last year, he truly has competition.
Yeah.
But he does not have competition from a great quarterback. Let's call it Teddy Bridgewater, and I've given him a nickname, and I say this with all due respect. He's Steady Teddy. That's what he is. He's not going to win you games, but generally speaking, he's not going to lose you games either. The problem with Drew Lock was he would lose you games because he would make mistakes at the most inopportune time. I think he is feeling it, and you are on these Zoom calls just like I am, Michael. You can tell there's an air of uncomfortability with him when he talks to the media now. When he was Buzz Lightyear, he was Chatty Cathy, but not anymore.
Well, he's not an idiot, right? He knows that the pressure is on, and he's feeling it. You're right. For the first time, he's feeling it because the Broncos went out specifically and got somebody to compete with him. And as much as he wants to say, yeah, I'm not on social media, I don't hear any of that, I'm out here to prove everybody wrong. First of all, if you're not hearing any of it, then how do you know you're going to go out there and hope to prove people wrong?
Right.
Because clearly you're hearing something, right? He's not an idiot. He knows that he's under the gun. He knows that he has to be better than Teddy Bridgewater, not even, but better than Teddy Bridgewater in order to win that. And right now he's not.
I've covered four NFL teams, and I've seen lots of quarterback competitions. Not a ton. I mean, when I was with the Bills, it was Jim Kelly. When I was with the Chiefs, after it was Dave Craig, it was Joe Montana. You know who was starting, right? But I've seen quarterback competitions. With that, the quarterback competition that I saw, that you saw a guy get swallowed up by a tsunami, was Kyle Orton with Tim Tebow Mania. And while it is not to this level yet, and Orton folded under the pressure, God love him, he did, no one could sustain Tebow Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But a little of that, I think, is going on with Drew Lock right now. And there is no Bridgewater Mania. It's the pressure that he's putting on himself not to make mistakes. He's checking down. And then you see Bridgewater talking to his teammates, staying after practice, being steady Teddy, not making a lot of mistakes, making the plays he's supposed to make.
And here's the other thing. It's only going to get worse for Drew Lock, because this show is a microcosm. The 2 hours that we have done together is a microcosm of what this town has been doing as of now. As much as we're always paying attention to the Broncos, nobody's really paying attention to the Broncos right now, because you had the Avs run and you've got the Nuggets in the playoffs.
For at least the next couple games.
Come July, when training camp starts,
right,
every single set of eyes in this town is going to be locked in on the Denver Broncos and locked in on that training camp and locked in on that quarterback competition.
Stop.
You're
going to
have fans.
They're not locked in on training camp. They're not locked in on the team. They're locked into number three.
Yeah.
That's who they are watching. I don't even know if they're watching Bridgewater.
And every
they're looking at Lock.
And they're going to be on the hill during training camp, and Drew's going to hear it, right? He's going to tell you that he doesn't, but every overthrow, every interception, you're going to hear it from the crowd. Oh, that deflated feeling.
Right.
Right. It's going to get even bigger for Drew Lock than it is right now. And if he can't handle this, then I'm concerned about whether or not he can handle that.
What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
A big time rematch in the world of the UFC. We'll talk about that matchup. Also, an interesting statistic coming out of the Bucks. And blanking on who they played for a minute.
Nets,
the Bucks and Nets series. We'll talk about Giannis's free throw shooting after the break, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Spencer.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Because you woke up in the morning with initiative to move, so why make it harder? Don't hold back. If you think about it, so many people do, be cool and look smarter. Don't hold back.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at MichaelCBS4. That's Michael Spencer. You can catch him Monday through Thursday on CBS4 and then on the Sunday show as well. Is
yep.
that right?
Yep.
Okay. You and Romy and Justin make up the sports team.
Yes, we do.
When you can keep Justin, because he does news as well.
Right. Yeah. He kind of floats around, and sometimes they steal him from us, but we like to keep him in the sports office.
And then on Monday, boy, what a fun show you you do on Monday nights? You used to do it at the View House, but because of COVID, I know that you have to do it in studio. When are you going to finally get out there?
Hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. I know our salespeople are working through that, and obviously health and safety and all that.
Right.
So hopefully we're back at the View House soon, because as you know, nothing beats being out, being live, being right there with your guest, and getting out and seeing people. I've seen you out there a couple times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was probably drunk at the time. By the way, I know that
I'm going to go there.
I know that I have made it. You put something out on Twitter that we were doing the show, and Eric Christensen favorited the tweet. So I've made it now that I'm finally getting recognized in the television community. I've always wanted to be on television, and now I can hang with the television guy. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, last night the Bucks eked out an ugly win against the Nets on their home floor. Despite Giannis shooting 44.4% from the free throw line, he also got a 10-second violation on a free throw, which is something you almost never see. Is it surprising to you that a two-time MVP has so many struggles at the charity stripe?
Yes. Sorry, I jumped you on that one. Yes. But Giannis isn't a good shooter. Right? Like, that's not what he's known for. He's the Greek freak. He's super athletic. He can drive to the lane. He can throw down these great dunks. He is not a good shooter. But for free throws, you should be able to hit those. It's the Shaquille O'Neal thing, right? Like, it's mind-boggling that these dudes who are super talented can't hit free throws. It should be really easy. I'm glad he finally got called for a 10-second violation, because he was pushing that thing they had the counter on one game, and he's getting 11, 12. He was certainly pushing that thing, but there's no way he should be that bad of a free throw shooter.
Well, for starters, Shaquille O'Neal was an MVP and a three-time MVP in the NBA Finals. If I'm not mistaken, was Will Chamberlain a good free throw shooter?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was either. Now, you can say big guys tend not to be. Then again, Giannis is a big guy, but not built the same way. You would think a guy with a stroke like his would be much better. What was Will?
Career 51.1%. So well, that's not very good.
That's 51.1% better than my free throw shooting percentage in the NBA.
Just in case you missed it, UFC 263 on Saturday night, tomorrow evening, it will be a middleweight title fight between Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vettori. It's a rematch of a split decision in Adesanya's favor back in 2018. Which Denver athlete do you think would make a good MMA fighter? Now remember, there's a whole range of weight classes all the way down to flyweight at about 125 pounds. So it doesn't have to be a big guy.
I would think Kareem Jackson would make a really good MMA fighter, because
right.
Kareem is not afraid of anybody.
Right.
And I think that if when you got him in the octagon, he could pretend like he is just like he just strapped on his helmet and is not afraid to hit anybody, not afraid to go after anybody.
Right.
I would like Kareem Jackson, especially at that weight class.
I want a guy in there who's got some crazy in him, or at least the potential to have crazy, or a guy who brings a lot of energy. Monte Morris is not crazy, but he does bring a lot of energy. In this series, he doesn't bring a lot of three-point shooting, 2-for-17, but I do like his energy. I mean, I'll give you a guy, a former athlete. How would you like to get Aqib Talib in there?
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about crazy.
Right. I mean, the guy shot himself in the leg.
Poked a dude in the, poked a dude in the eye.
Right, right. And he did an interview with somebody on a local radio station here, and the person said to him, "So did you shoot yourself in the leg?" And his answer was, "I can't comment on that because we are waiting for the police report." Now think about that for a second and let that sink in. I need the police to tell me if I shot myself in the leg.
It is a funny thought.
Isn't it?
Very much so.
I need someone to
hey,
let me know.
Hey, we've all been there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm always hanging out in the parking lot at a strip club at 3 o'clock in the morning with a fully loaded piece.
The day before you're supposed to fly to the White House.
I mean, who isn't? Who isn't?
Just in case you missed it, Mark Hensby gets a 10-shot penalty at the Palmetto Championship at Congaree for accidentally playing the wrong ball, and he didn't notice until a few holes later, so those penalties added up on him there to 10 strokes total. Eric, I know you're a golfer. Michael, I'm not sure about you, but when you play golf, how many golf balls do you typically go through in a round? I know I use way more than one.
A lot of it, the way I'm hitting lately, a lot, because I've completely lost my swing. I don't know. If I'm having a good day, maybe one sometime. I've gone rounds without losing a ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
It depends on the course, right? Like if the course is pretty open.
Right.
If there's trees, I'm in trouble.
But the way I've been playing lately, I mean, I usually go to the range vending machine and just load up my bag.
Yeah.
So they're orange, so they have a, you know, a black thing around them, so their balls aren't as good. If I'm going to lose them, why should I lose mine?
Now, do you search for balls?
Never.
No. Oh, really?
Never.
I appreciate that.
Never.
There's nothing worse.
It's got to be etiquette on the
some
court.
Some dude waiting forever to try and find his ball. Hey, man, look, if you can't find it in the first minute, drop another one. Let's go.
Right. Nothing gets me more upset than people holding up around. I get really aggravated over that stuff. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season, and the people in Falcon and Colorado Springs certainly know something about that, along with the folks in Castle Rock. So if your roof gets damaged by hail, you need to go to Masterpiece Roofing. Call for a free inspection today and see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. And Masterpiece Roofing also recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Nolan, great job pushing all the right buttons on MileHighSports.com. Danny, fantastic job all week. Michael, when are we going to see you back on the air at CBS4?
Sunday night. I'll be there.
Do you have any special?
5:10.
Any special guests?
10:30. Fingers crossed, Milan Hayduk coming up Monday for Extended Monday Live.
Okay. If you ever need me as a guest on your Sunday or Monday show, don't ask.
Saw that coming.
Yeah. I don't want to kill your ratings. I spent a cup of coffee on television.
You did more than a cup of coffee. Give yourself some credit.
And I got to tell you something. The ratings were so stinking bad that I don't want to get Tim Wieland all upset with me, your news director.
Appreciate that.
Make it the best possible night you can.
Don't let me down. I think I'm losing my mind now. It's in my head.